Just before we get started, too, I would like to invite you to take those sheets that have the texts written on the back of them. If you see there's some questions for deeper reflection that you may take home and perhaps have an opportunity to go further and think about how God's Word is speaking to your heart and in the context of your own life, I invite you to do that. In November 1999, while walking across a bridge in Montreal, a Canadian man named Jean Béliveau had an idea. Béliveau was 44 years old. He was suffering from a midlife crisis. His small business, a neon sign company, had gone bankrupt. He was struggling with depression, and he needed a change. So he decided to go for a walk. It took a few months of planning. But about 8 months later, on his 45th birthday, Béliveau departed, setting out from Montreal, heading south. He would go on to walk for 11 years, through 64 countries, on six continents, covering more than 75,000 kilometers. Sometimes you just need to get out for a walk. Béliveau's epic walk became known as the Worldwide Walk for Peace and Children, raising awareness about children who suffer the effects of violence and war throughout the world. And you can read more about it on his website. He still has a website that's live, and the reasons that he made and the lessons that he learned along his historic epic walk, which is really the longest uninterrupted walk ever recorded. But what catches my attention about Béliveau's story today, and the reason I bring it up and share it with you, is that there's just something unique about walking, isn't there? A person doesn't go for an 11-year walk without there being something about this activity of walking that draws us, that blesses us, that helps us to be balanced and whole, and to live in the way that we so often desire to live. There are many ways of getting from one place to another, but walking is more than that, isn't it? This simple and beautiful act of walking comes to mind today for me as we think about the story of Enoch. For though we know virtually nothing else about Enoch, save one thing, what we're told is that Enoch walked with God. So there is one other thing that the Bible tells us about Enoch, and the reason why that he seems to be in the Faith Hall of Fame is because this mysterious reality that he avoided, death, sets him apart from every other person in history, really, save for one, Elijah, who was also taken up into heaven mysteriously without dying. These two seem to be the only ones whom God did that for. As the Hebrews 11:5 puts it, by faith Enoch was taken up so he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as one having pleased God. It raises about 100 questions for us, I think, to think about Enoch not having to die, Elijah too. All of these hundreds of questions, like where did he go and why was he spared death and no one else? And is this a thing even that still might happen? Could God take someone up into heaven without dying? Of all those hundreds of questions that we have about Enoch and perhaps Elijah too, none of them have good answers. We're left simply with this unique, curious facet of God's sovereign will. He decided that Enoch was going to come to be with him apart from anyone else, different than anyone else, sparing death. God decided simply to do it. And really, there's not much more I could say about that. Everything else that I could say would be conjectural, it would be imaginative perhaps, and it might be right or wrong, but we'll just have to ask those guys when we get there too, I suppose. So what can we know and what can we learn from Enoch's life, what we're told of it in the Scriptures? Well, what we can know is that Enoch walked with God, and that's the phrase that I'd like to invite you to chew on today. What does it mean to walk with God? For the remainder of the message, I want to invite you to chew on that phrase. Consider the life of faith that's described by those those simple words, walking with God. And as we do that, I'd like to invite you to think of three points, three facets or angles of application that you can perhaps think about. Walking with God is about pace, first of all. Pace, going at the right speed. Walking with God, secondly, is about destination. It's about having a goal and a purpose in our lives. And finally, walking with God is about intimacy and the company that we keep along the road. Pace and destination and intimacy, these are the angles that I invite you to see in this text today. First then, walking with God is about pace. There's a musical term that some of you may have been familiar with if you were ever reading sheet music. At the top of the page, usually there's a note about how quickly to play or to sing the piece, and one of those terms is andante. Andante means at walking speed. And so you can imagine, without even a number or a metronome, you can imagine taking some steps together and developing that cadence, that rhythm of walking speed. Most of the time, we go so quickly that it's quicker than walking speed, isn't it? Most of the time, we move, not on our own 2 feet, but with cars or trains or bikes or skateboards or whatever it else is we get around on. And our cities really are designed with those vehicles in mind. But walking, in the ancient world at least, was predominantly the way that people got around. It was the speed at which people moved. And there's something human about that walking pace. I think sometimes about our lives and how we sometimes become stressed and we think that life is too fast and it slips by and all of a sudden a year goes by and we just haven't even realized how quickly things are going. And sometimes that's because we live in an accelerated way. And I wonder sometimes if we walked everywhere that we went, what would that be like? Would we maybe have more time to invest in the things that matter most, the relationships? Would we have more time to reflect on how we're feeling and maybe what we're thinking about? Would we have conversations with those that we find along the way? Exhausted by our fast-paced lifestyles, we can sometimes become completely immobilized, stop walking altogether and stop being able to move. But Jesus, walking patiently and deliberately into our lives again, invites us to follow him at the right speed and to find that pace which is sustainable and life-giving. This is the Savior who didn't rush, who went everywhere and arrived just on time, neither early nor late, and who teaches us again the way of life. I wonder if you are living quicker than you need to, or if you're feeling rushed or harried today, what would it look like for you to take life at walking speed, to have a pace that was sustainable? If first, walking with God is about a pace that is sustainable, secondly, it's also about a destination. Dear friends, we must learn to ask ourselves this question, where are we going? What is the goal of my life, the purpose or reason I'm alive? These are big questions, and they can shake even the most confident people among us. So many of us live, however, without a strong understanding of why we're here, that we can become aimless and apathetic. Life can become a fog of experiences and relationships that don't really hold together under one common theme. We forget why we are here. We forget where we are walking towards, if in fact we are really walking anywhere. But Jesus, walking patiently and deliberately into our lives, invites us to follow him at walking speed and recover that sense of purpose and direction. Have you ever noticed that when you're walking, you can then begin to see what's around you? If you're driving or if you've been on a bike or running, sometimes the scenery goes by so quickly that you really can't take note. But when you're walking, you can see again where you're going. Jesus is leading us forward to a goal. This is a rescue mission. We're going in search of other people who've also become stuck, collecting them up into the train of disciples following the Master. This is the purpose. This is the destination as we go together and as we collect more disciples. We're going where he is going, and he knows where he's going. This is the same Savior who walked the road which led to his suffering and death, who walked right through the experience of his own death, forward into the kingdom that he's building, which will last forever. This is the same Savior whose walk to the cross made an end of our sins, who provided forgiveness for all people, who walked through the valley of the shadow of death in our place, and who now beckons us to follow him further, to go through this life also with our eyes focused on the new heavens and the new earth, which we may not see yet clearly, but which by faith we believe will come. Walking with God is having a destination. So if walking with God is about going at a pace which is sustainable for life and which is healthy and which is balanced, and if walking with God is also about knowing where we're going, finally, walking with God is really about intimacy with Him. And this is really the point of it all. Walking with God is about intimacy with Him. It's about having the time and the context to connect with our Lord who made us. For, dear friends, we long in our heart of hearts to be connected and reunited with the God who created us. I wonder, when do you get to spend that time with your Lord that you crave? When do you get to spend time on your own with Jesus? For many of us, even though we know that God is there, we believe He exists, and even that He loves us and gave Jesus to be our Savior, for many of us, we miss the daily opportunity to experience His presence, His intimacy, in a long and cherishable time. We busy ourselves with all kinds of other good things, service and work and entertainment and all kinds of other good things. And yet we still have that hunger, that yearning for the joy and peace of His simple presence. So I wonder, when do you get that time to spend, to connect? When do you draw near to the God who created us, who loves us so much? Today, Jesus comes to us at walking speed, and He offers His hand of fellowship and companionship, His hand of friendship along the way. This is the Savior who did it all, but who now spends His time with us, inviting us to live with an awareness of His presence, and to think of Him as a constant and trustworthy companion and friend in life, through wherever we go. Dear friends, the life that I'm describing, it has to be experienced in order to be understood. And so I want to invite you, as you think about your own life and your own hunger, maybe the various appetites that you're aware of, to consider your need for spiritual intimacy with the God who knows you inside and out. Walking with God restores our souls. It brings us back to the state where we're moving but not frantic, where we're walking purposefully with a direction even though we aren't always shown the final destination, where most importantly we know who we are with and where we live with that enjoyment and thrive in the healing, intimate presence of Jesus Himself. This is the way that our lives were made to be lived. Dear friends, as I bring my comments and my thoughts to an end today, as I invite you to walk forward from today and from this worship time even with a renewed sense of joy in God's presence, as I invite you to take your life at walking speed and go at a pace that's sustainable, I invite you to go with Him, to go with the One who made a path for you and who is taking your own sins upon Himself even as they continue, and who is carrying you yourself through the depths of darkness, the good days and the bad, all the experiences yet to come. Jesus invites you to walk with Him. And that, dear friends, is its own reward. So may you take His hand and follow, and may your soul rejoice to be walking in His presence. Amen. And now may the peace which comes from the presence of our Savior Jesus guard our hearts and minds for all time, as we look to the new heavens and the new earth. Amen.